Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Today's program, we're going to be interviewing chef, owner, and baker Holly West of the Sweet Monkey Cafe and Bakery in downtown Marshall, North Carolina. We're currently sitting at the patio of her cafe, and you will hear some street noise in the background because it's an open patio for nice outdoor ambiance, especially nice for the summertime and fall, I suppose, too. Mm-hmm. So let's introduce Chef Holly, and tell us where you learned about baking and cooking and your chef training.
Ah, well, good morning. Where to begin? Well, I've often said that I was born to bake, and I learned how to cook. So from a very early age, I was always in the kitchen. My mom did a couple events and festivals, and we would help her out, and we made Crispy Critters a lot. So I was born in Maui. Let's start there. And Crispy Critters are basically fried flour tortillas tossed in cinnamon and sugar. You put them in a paper bag, and they are just delicious. And so my sister and I, we would do those and then run around and sell them for $1 a bag at, you know, like a country festival or a rodeo type thing. That's just kind of where we got started. My sister and I always were entrepreneurial. We had a lot of fruit trees on our property, and we grew up on the road to Haleakala. And so we had a lot of bike tours that would go up and down our road. So if you've ever been to the top of the mountain in Maui, you've passed my house.
I have taken that bike ride twice.
Well, you've passed my house.
For those who are not geographically inclined, just as a reminder, Maui is in Hawaii.
Yes.
It's 3,000 miles from the West Coast or something like that?
So, right in the middle of the Pacific. We had a lot of fruit trees on our property, and Dad had a big old yellow case tractor, and bucket rides were just the thing. And we would get in the bucket and pick the plums at the very top. Top of the tree, and then we would sell them for $1 a dozen. See, we really liked dollars when we were kids. That was big money, big money. And one day, my sister and I actually made $30. That's how many plums we had, and that's how many people came down the mountain. So they would drive on the way up and say, "We'll be back on the way down." And sure enough, they would stop because we had this wonderful stopping turnaround point, which was really unheard of on that road to begin with, because it's just switchback after switchback, and we had a nice long stretch. So it was very optimum. That was a long time ago. We left in 92.
How many sisters and brothers did you have that you were growing up with?
I just have one sister. I'm the older one. And my sister currently still lives in Seattle.
Is she a chef?
Nope, she is not. But we both went to the Art Institute of Seattle for our respective degrees. I went for culinary arts, and she went for fashion design. And I've been out here for just over 12 years.
Okay, so that's how you get started in the business, grew up with it, literally.
I literally grew up with it in grade school. We got to hold respective jobs, either cleaned up the playground or worked in the kitchen, did bus cone duty or something. I always chose to be in the kitchen. I loved hanging out with these ladies and dumping plates. And every now and again, you'd get a quarter or a dime that somebody forgot on their lunch tray. But just the sounds of the big machines and the stainless steel. I mean, the smell of the food was always horrible, but that's school food for you. But just the activity, I felt really at home in an industrial kitchen. That's where it started. And I forgot, actually, when we went to high school and it was time to, you know, I turned into a lemming, basically, and went to a four-year school, but only lasted about a year and a quarter.
Here we are in Sweet Monkey Cafe in downtown Marshall. You hear the traffic going by outside the patio here, which is absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And tell me about your specialty. Do you have a specialty?
I guess I do and I don't. I happily and luckily get to marry sweet and savory things. Not a lot of chefs can bake, and not a lot of bakers can chef. you know, it's really a one or the other, and there are very few of us that can actually do both and do both well. And I feel like I do both well. I like to put obscure things together and put spices, combinations together that you wouldn't think go, and they happen to work.
My wife and I have been here a number of occasions and tasted some of your cuisine,
And for those who have never had the opportunity to come to downtown Marshall to the Sweet Monkey Cafe, you really should come here. That you have some unusual combination of things. You first look at it and say, what? But it really works.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Well, and then I designed the menu. Everything has been thought out. That's the one thing that a lot of people don't understand about a restaurant menu, is that actual thought and care has gone into creating every dish, and they work in such a way that is complementary to each other in flavors and ingredients, and whether the sandwich is toasted or if it's just a soft cut sandwich. You know, there's a lot more thought than just slapping in some peanut butter and jelly in between two pieces of bread.
Just as a little aside for people who are interested in this sort of thing, when you decide to change your menu and mm-hmm. you say, okay, I'm going to come up with a new sandwich for next week or next month or next season,
sure.
whatever it is, tell me about the process of how you come up with that sandwich.
It's a little maniacal sometimes.
I'm sure.
Inspiration comes in a variety of different ways. Sometimes wine's involved. And sometimes you just have a thought, or you get a taste, or you have an idea, and then it kind of snowballs, or it stops dead in its tracks until you actually do something about it. But then my thought pattern tends to be, okay, I have an idea. And then actually, I'll talk to my mom about it, because she and I bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. She's kind of the think tank, and then I'm the doer.
Sounds like a good combination to
me. It's a great combination. We have a lot of fun together. We have an amazing relationship. She works in here with me. She's been working with me since 2011, actively.
What is her name?
Dryna West.
So tell me about this sandwich process. How many times do you try a sandwich, typically, before it's right?
Once.
Wow, that's fantastic. Some people go absolutely berserk, and they've got to make 10 different varieties of it before they get the right combination.
Well, yeah, that's what I've been doing this for a long time. I've worked in a variety of different restaurants, and I mean, I may only be 36, but I've been in food for most of my life. Started out actually, you know, getting paid for it as a strawberry picker in Washington State for the Sukuma Brothers. I loved picking strawberries because it'd be one for me, one for the basket, one for me, one for the basket. Kind of like Auntie Maria Lani with her wine and cooking.
being a vineyard owner, I can tell you that there's a lot of that pick your own stuff that works exactly a grape for me and a grape for you. Oh, yeah.
One for me, one for the pot.
I understand that process. So this really, when you come up with your menu items, it's a one-shot deal. You talk about it, you think about it, and then you just sort of go in and do the ingredients and throw it together, and bang, it's right the first time out of the chute.
Generally, it's right out of the chute. There is some tasting, so different components, like making sure you have the right amount of pesto to bacon fat in the mayonnaise. And the way we cook here, the way I learned, for the cafe part of things, there is no recipe. There's a list of ingredients, and you need to taste it. And so you need to be able to taste everything that's going on within the dressing or the sauce or the marinade, and then execute it virtually the same way every time. So it drives my cooks nuts. It absolutely does. Like, well, how much of this do I need? Like, I don't know. Taste it. You need to taste it. Because your palate and your tongue and your sense of smell, that's the deal. You know. And if it's pleasing to you, whether you followed a recipe or not, more than likely it's going to be pleasing to somebody else.
Do you help train your cooks?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, they're not chefs.
No.
Okay, they're just sort of like short order cooks. So
for the most part, yeah.
Well, I would say that you probably got a little bit of training to do there. We've had a lot of experience in training wine judges.
Uh-huh.
We just did the 73 commercial wines for the Asheville Wine and Food Festival last week. I was one of the judges and table counts.
Okay.
And we trained the judges from scratch. It took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that most Americans have no clue how their tongue or their nose works.
Oh, that's
no
true.
No clue.
That is true.
So there's a lot of training went on.
There is a lot of training. And so we do a lot of guiding. You know, even how long does something bake for? Until it's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how my pastry teacher taught me. We constantly in class would ask, how long? How should we set the timer? It's like, it's done when it's done. You know, you check it, you have to feel it. Cooking's about feeling things. It's being in touch with your environment, knowing your equipment, feeling your ingredients. It's a very passionate and very emotional industry that people don't often realize. And, you know, you get an internal clock, and hopefully it's right. I know. I talk to my food all the time. I tell it it's very pretty. It's like, you're a sexy piece of chicken. You're so sexy right now. I'm going to eat you anyway. You're going to behave so nicely for me right now. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's something that comes out in the end result, of course. If you've got a passion for something, it always works out great. People can sense it and feel it that work around you or come to your place. So mm-hmm. I hope you continue to have that passion here with your operation.
Oh, absolutely. Once I start calling this a job, I have to quit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun part of the business.
Yep.
One last question for you. How many cooks do you have here?
I have one and myself.
Okay, and then with respect to the space that you have here, I see you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tables in your patio area. And mm-hmm. I have another four inside.
Okay.
So your restaurant's open year-round, just the patio is closed in the wintertime.
Yeah, and we're looking at how to close it in. Last year I did not want to close it in because we were so new, and I didn't want it to look like we were abandoned or closed just because I needed to be visible. So yeah, the patio was very cold last year, but I do have it wired for electric heaters, and we just need to get it closed in. So that may happen this year, it may not, but this will be a year-round patio.
In closing, it's going to be okay as long as you can still hear some of the street noise. You can still see the people walking by.
Yes, of course. It would be of, you know, plastic. Now that I have the sign outside, before I didn't have a street sign, and yeah, that was a big concern for me because people still can't find me.
Well, we did notice the very nice street sign you had hung up out there. We think that's sort of a nice little touch. So,
well, thank you. My dad built the frame.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he built the canoe that hangs in here.
Really?
Yeah. That thing's 20 years old, cedar strip, hand-built, 17 feet long, 50 pounds.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. And it took 6 months.
I saw that the other day when I was in here, and I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Why would you have a canoe hanging there?
Right? Well, because we don't put it in the lake.
It's just for show and tell.
It's just for show and tell. It does a good job showing. It's amazing how much light it truly absorbs in the restaurant. We took it down and had it as our float for the mermaid parade. Mm. And it was so much brighter in here with that thing out.
It's a good looking canoe, I have to say. As a woodworker,
right?
Sort of envious of the nice finishes on that. But that adds to the ambiance of the inside, I suppose. Well, we're at a point now where we're going to take a break for a few moments for a commercial. And we've been talking with chef, owner, and baker, Holly West, of the Sweet Monkey Cafe and Bakery in downtown Marshall, North Carolina. Hang on, folks. We'll be back in just a few.
Our sponsor for today's program is Freddie Fubar's Frog Jumping Training Class. Many of our listeners will remember the time when we were kids and watched the frog jumping contest at the Madison County Fair. You can still feel the pride as each contestant carefully places their frog in the circle and then encourage the frog to jump out of the 6-foot diameter circle. Freddie Fubar was our county champion for 5 years in a row. Now he's turned his past experience into a business. Freddie offers classes in frog jumping training for kids and their parents. His first task is to teach folks how to catch their best frogs. It's best if you have a large pond near your home so you can watch the frogs grow from week to week during the summer. Once you've identified your frog jumping prospects, he shows you how to carefully wade out into the pond armed with his frog catching net he invented. Folks who sign up for his frog jumping training class will get a frog catching net to keep for their very own. Once you catch a few prospective jumping frogs, you have to see which one has the best chance to jump the farthest. Freddie places a stool near the bank of the pond and places each frog on the seat. The frog then leaps towards the pond. He catches it with his frog catching net just before it hits the water. He tests about 5 or 6 frogs to make this leap before deciding which one jumped the longest distance. He takes his best jumper to the county fair to compete. Freddie has several techniques to encourage the frogs to jump once they have been put inside the jumping contest circle. Yelling just doesn't work. He has a long turkey feather he uses to tickle their behind to get them to jump. If that doesn't work, Freddie stomps his foot loudly behind the frog and scares the frog into jumping. That technique always works. Freddie, however, warns you to be careful. Bernie Blake tried that technique last year and totally squashed his frog when he miscalculated where he was stomping. Frog guts got squirted on several spectators sitting nearby. Freddie Fubar's Frog Jumping Training Class is another small business invented in the good old U.S. of A. here in Madison County, North Carolina. You can sign up for Freddie Fubar's frog jumping training class today at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall for only $1.298. And now back to our regular program.
Okay, we are back interviewing Holly West, the chef, owner, and baker of Sweet Monkey Cafe and Bakery in downtown Marshall, North Carolina. For those just joining us, you'll hear a little bit of street noise in the back. We're sitting out on the wonderful patio here at the Sweet Monkey Cafe interviewing Holly. Holly, you had told me one time about a very interesting story of how you selected the name of your bakery, Sweet Monkey
the
Cafe.
The Sweet Monkey Cafe. Well, you say a lot of silly things when you're in your 20s. And so it was an endearing term I used to refer to people as, like, oh, you're such a sweet monkey. And you can always change the word sweet to, you know, you silly monkey, you naughty monkey, depending on the situation. And kind of stuck. And when I was living in Arizona before I moved out here, I drove to work. You know, I was working at the Prescott Pantry. I was their baker, so of course I'm up really early in the morning, and then at least I'm home early afternoon. And I had just gotten out of school, and I was daydreaming about if I were to ever own a restaurant, what would it be? And then I, you know, came up with the name Sweet Monkey. I just kind of kept using it and conceptualized it. And what I have here right now is 3/4 of what I originally conceptualized. It's a combination between beans and berries from here where I worked and the Prescott Pantry in Arizona, but with my flair.
I have to ask, what's the other missing quarter?
The cognac and cigar bar on the side.
Ooh. Is that something we sort of look forward to here?
Well, we need to change a couple laws here in Madison County so I can at least make a whiskey and bourbon bar. And cigars. I do enjoy a good cigar.
Hang in there.
I'm in here for the long haul. I've got 1 year down, 12 to go. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's how the name came about. And you mentioned that you had worked at the Prescott Pantry in Arizona.
Yep.
What other places have you worked at? You didn't mention all of those.
Oh, gosh. I've got quite a history. Well, in Arizona, before I moved here, I helped open up a wildflower bread company, which is kind of like a Panera Bread, just specifically to Arizona. The Prescott Pantry. I worked at the Wallingford Bakery in Seattle. Then that was attached to Julia's on Wallingford, and they opened a Julia's on Broadway. Gosh, this was a long time ago, back in early 2000, maybe 2001. And so that very first pastry menu, Julia's on Broadway on Capitol Hill, was mine.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I am in my early 20s at this point. I did my internship at Lopajay Harwigs in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. But as of here, when I moved here in 2003, I was the last pastry chef at Savoy. When Vinny's Neighborhood Italian was Savoy. Oh, I loved it. It was a wonderful place to work. I get to see Eric every now and again. He's actually been in. And then I moved to the Flying Frog. I was the baker at Asheville School. I've started the Sweet Monkey Bakery in my apartment in the Forks of Ivy Apartments, just over here off of exit 13, because a restaurant in Cheshire in Black Mountain, which I don't think exists anymore, asked me if I would make desserts for them. So I said, give me a second, and 4 10-inch cakes fit in my oven, and the monkey was born. And I have done everything under the sun. I was the in-room hotel breakfast at the Haywood Park Hotel for a long time. I've wholesaled. I had 4 bins of bulk granola in Green Life when it was Green Life. I even went to Chattanooga and delivered granola to the original Chattanooga store. I've done weddings. I've done birthday parties, cakes. Some of the cakes that I've made for some weddings, I've done Asheville celebrity weddings. At least they're cakes, so I'm not going to name any names.
A really varied background and a lot of experience.
It is a lot of experience. Gosh, there's other places I'm pretty... Oh, I worked at Scully's and then at Beans and Berries, and I've done a lot of festivals. I actually went in 2008. I was 8 months pregnant with my son, Patrick. Took a crew of people up to Rothbury, Michigan, and food vended the very first Rothbury Festival, which is now the Electric Forest, but... Oh man, we got everything set up, and then this monsoon descends upon, you know, the vendors' tents. There's tents in trees. We had lakefront property that didn't exist for, you know, 15 minutes before. All 8 months pregnant, holding the tent down. Patrick was a good egg even then and now. So
sounds like quite an experience.
I have so many stories, I've forgotten most of them.
Well, let's go back to your cafe here. I want to hear about how you select wines. Most people don't really think about restaurants as being part of the viticulture industry, but it certainly is. It's the end retail outlet for a lot of wines that are made.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how you interact with wines, how you pick the wines that you have. So
okay. Far. Do you want my honest answer?
Sure.
All right. It's price driven.
Okay.
It's absolutely price driven, but it's also flavor driven. I mean, and it's very tiered. And so I work with one distributor because one, I don't want to write too many checks, to be perfectly honest.
Which distributor?
I use Trion. Martin's my rep. He's fantastic. He's very well versed in what his products are and what's going to work in my restaurant and what's going to work demographically in this area and what's going to work with my food. And so we at length kind of went through, I don't want to carry too many. For one, because I'm just starting out, but I do want to hit the mark for different, not flavors, categories really, but I want to have a nice blend. You know, I personally am over Merlot, and so a lot of my choices, since I'm here all the time and I enjoy a good glass of wine, are driven by my taste and what my desire is, and my hope is that it's going to transfer through. And really what can I pair with what I'm making? I do enjoy pairing wine and food together, and hopefully in the future we'll be doing more wine dinners. I enjoy wine. I have been drinking wine really since I could drink it as a 21-year-old. Started out with Pinot Noir. I still have a bottle of 1999 Chateau Saint-Jean Pinot Noir that has traveled across the country. It's probably horrible by now, but it was just delightful because it's not in a temperature-controlled area. Like the closet in my bathroom. Probably not aging properly.
I wouldn't think so. Which wines do you have on your menu now?
I have a Stamari Pinot Noir. So I believe it's a sustainable organic. I personally think it's a little thin, but isn't that what Pinot Noir is supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. It's the lightest of all the red wines.
It is. And then I have Gnarly Head Red Blend. I call her my redheaded Mert because she's just fun to drink. She's a good time. Line 39 Cabernet Sauvignon. I've kind of moved into more bolder, for my own personal taste, a little bit heavier, fruitier, bolder red wines. I have an Argentinian Malbec. And I flipped that one. Malbec's not entirely my favorite. I think it's just a little too, for my taste, it's just a little too dry versus the Cabernet. And I have customers who enjoy it, so I keep it. But I tend to switch my labels up on that one. But I enjoy the Line 39. And all of these fall within the price point that's demographically acceptable. They're good wine. They pair well with just about anything that I serve on the menu and appeal palate-wise to majority of the folks that come in.
Holly, I want to mention the fact that I see a little sign on the board here that you're going to be competing in the Asheville Wine Food Festival. Tell us what you're going to be doing there.
Oh, I am so excited. So I've been involved with this festival since, I think, 2010. Started out with sweets, and so that's the sweet offering. Pre-party. It's really the pre-party to the grand tasting. I did an inverted chandelier-style wedding cake that I built and I put together. That was the very first one. But so for this one, we'll be at Sweets again, and I'm not revealing what I'm doing because it's always a surprise, and I can just tell you there's going to be bacon.
Okay.
Bacon, chocolate, and I, we hang out a lot. We're good friends. We talk to each other. We get together for a glass of wine every now and again.
Well, it sounds like something fun and exciting to see.
I encourage
anybody listening to take it upon themselves at least once in a lifetime to get up to Asheville and go through the Asheville Wine and Food Festival.
Oh, I love this festival. I absolutely adore it. I mean, if you are a foodie of any design, we're going to have a tasting table again. So we're going to bring the shrimp and grits, where I am told people are still talking about the shrimp and grits I brought last year. And I'm also one of the four final chef competitors.
I heard that.
Yes, fantastic. I am super excited, and I'm entertaining the idea of actually doing my 1 hour competition in a dress and heels just because I can. Show these boys how you really cook.
All right. We can do that. Well, Holly, it's been fun talking with you on the radio program today. I'm sure a lot of people out there in our audience is going to be curious about coming down and tasting some of your goodies that you have available here at your cafe and bakery.
Oh, I hope so.
And we also want to give you a chance here to tell us, how can people find out who you are, where you are, and how to get in contact with you, make reservations, hours of operation, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, to be perfectly honest, Facebook is the quickest and easiest way to get in touch and figure things out. That does have the hours. We are open Monday from 10 to 3. We are closed on Tuesday because I really need a day off. I'm here every day, open to close. Wednesday through Saturday is 9 to 9, so 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and that's the day we are serving three meals, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sunday is brunch only, 10 to 4, which is our busiest day, and that's an entirely separate menu. I run around with about five different offerings, plus pizza. Pizza's generally always available, but it is a dough that I make, and if sometimes I can't get to it, we don't have pizza.
What is your Facebook address?
You can find us at the Sweet Monkey Bakery. My face is all over it.
Okay.
So if you know what I look like, then.
Do you need reservations?
No, we do not take reservations generally until I have a special event like Valentine's Day. We took reservations only. Thanksgiving, we're going to do another buffet, I believe. And that would be a two-seating. It'll be a two-seating reservation. Not sure about Christmas or New Year's yet, but Halloween, we throw down a wicked party out here. So that would definitely be something to check out. But in general, day to day, I do not take reservations. If you're going to have a larger party, something over six people, I would like a heads up so we can make accommodations for you.
Okay, what's the way to contact you via telephone?
You can get us at 828-649-2489. It only rings three times, and so if you miss us, keep calling back. It's a funny phone.
You have a website, email address?
The website I have is for the bakery, and it's 10 years old and never changed, so everything that's been coming soon has been coming soon for 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so really Facebook, the Sweet Monkey Bakery on Facebook, that's where I post, that's where updates are, and that's going to be, except they changed the whole menu option, so it's not my full menu, it's what's most popular.
We've been speaking with chef, owner, baker Holly West, of the Sweet Monkey Cafe and Bakery in downtown Marshall, North Carolina. Holly, thank you very much for joining us on our show today.
Oh, I had a blast. Thank you so much.
Newsflash update. This is an update from Chuck Blethen at the Mountain Grapevine Program. The following information was obtained a few days following the previous interview we had with our chef, Holly West, of the Sweet Monkey Cafe and Bakery in downtown Marshall. Holly West is, in fact, the winner of the Chef Challenge at the 2015 Asheville Wine and Food Festival in Asheville, North Carolina. Congratulations, Holly West, North Carolina's finest chef. We'll call that a wrap for today's program with the postscript on Holly's winning of the Chef Challenge. This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethen signing off for today. Cheers!